This morning to Isaiah chapter 55. We believe that these verses are, this particular verse is on our mind this morning, verse 6, and I want to try to draw our attention to the call of the prophet. I want to tell you ahead of time that we ought on days of our conference to not allow the responsibility that lies before the church and meeting together to discuss its business to interfere with the worship. I think, you know, years ago, the church met on Saturday for their business meetings when they only met a couple of times a month. One on the Saturday before, it may have been second Sunday at Macedonia. I can't remember if it was the first, third. On the Saturday before the third Sunday for many years, the folks, the brothers and sisters in Christ met together and they had their business meetings on Saturday. And the reason why they did it was to make sure that it didn't interfere with the responsibility of the church to worship on Sunday. And the reason why I mention that is because it's a little bit more challenging for us now because we also have the same challenge, but we're doing a two-in-one combo, if you will. We have worship and then we have conference. I want to be mindful of the time. And I pray that the Lord would bless me to use it to the best of what He would have us to bring forward to you. And I want to observe the time so that we can both worship and take care of our appropriate business at the house of God. But this particular verse is in our recollection of our thoughts this morning, where the prophet cries and says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near." This is a charge, an encouraging call, an admonition from a prophet to the people of Israel to seek the Lord. To seek ye the Lord while He may be found, and to call upon Him while He's near. You know, sometimes before you can correctly break a verse down to what exactly is meant by the verse, you've got to first distinguish and show what it's not saying. A lot of times whenever we first read through something, we can have a lot of different thoughts about what it may be showing us. And a lot of times if we're able to eliminate some of the possibilities of what it may be saying, then we can tell what it is saying. I was always a terrible test taker coming up through school. And I don't blame that on the test as much as I blame it on a lot of times my slothfulness and the way that I approached it. But I never fared very well on the, I don't know if it's the CRCT or the ITBS. I never did well on those exams coming up through school. There were a lot of end of the year conferences between your pastor and the teacher and his mama and daddy. And we can say that with a smile now. Thankfully, we got through it. So if you're going through that stage with your children now, I don't want to use me as an example of saying it's going to be okay, but it may be okay. It's all right. But whenever I got up to a certain level in school, one of the things that somebody showed me, and I forget whether or not it was before I took the SATs or while I was in the midst of a college education, is that if you'll take a test where it's multiple choice and you have different answers to choose from, if you'll eliminate some of those that you know are not possible, then you can break it down, and at least if you don't know the exact answer, you'll at least have a better probability of getting it right. But most of the time, if you can eliminate some of those that you know can't be it, you can find the right answer and you'll fare better on those tests. Well, there's a lot of people that would read this particular verse of Scripture and see that the prophet is crying unto the people of Israel saying, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found, and to call upon Him while He's near." And believe that the prophet is crying unto those dead alien sinners to just call upon the Lord, to just seek the Lord while He may be found, and to call upon Him while He's near. And that in doing so, that you'll be given life and you'll get to live in eternal glory with Jesus Christ. You know, what did the Scriptures tell us about that particular task to seek the Lord? And it is a task. Seek the Lord while He may be found, and to call upon Him while he's near. You know, the psalmist David says in the 11th Psalm, if you want to turn over and read with me there, the 14th Psalm, that, and if the Lord will be with us, I want to go over to Romans chapter 3 following this, that in the 14th Psalm, that the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." The psalmist David here is clearly saying that there's none that doeth good. There's none that seek after God. And you say, how can David say that there's none that seek, and yet the prophet Isaiah is telling us to seek? If it's not possible, why would a prophet tell us to do it? You know, you can better well believe this, and I'll tell you, Scripture will uphold it every time. The Lord's never told you to seek for something that cannot be found. He's never given you a task to fulfill that He, by His blessed hand, cannot bless you to be able to do. And I'll tell you another promise by the authority of Almighty Scripture is that there's not a mistake or a contradiction in the very Word of God. So you're not going to have one prophet telling you to do something that another man of God in the Scripture is telling you that can't be done. What must happen is that the context must be different. The context of the verses must be different. In the 14th chapter of the book of Psalm, and in addition to the third chapter of the book of Romans, that if you go over and you read the description of what a man is by nature, And what it doesn't matter whether or not you're talking about Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter what nationality they come from. Every man by nature comes from Adam. And there's some things that he cannot do. There's some things that he won't do. There's some things that he has no desire to do. There's some things that the Scripture calls upon the child of God to do that man that is still in his nature that was given unto him by Adam cannot do, won't do, has no desire to do. And one of them is to seek God. There's not an ounce of possession in them. There's not one thing that they possess that brings them to a point to seek or to desire to seek. The Apostle Paul, whenever he wrote the church at Corinth, says in chapter 2 that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are foolishness unto him, for they are spiritually discerned. A natural man does not seek spiritual things. So whenever we see that they have all together become unprofitable, there's none that doeth good, they do not understand, nor do they seek God, what we see is that David is describing a man when what he is by nature. And whenever we read that the prophet Isaiah is calling upon the children of God to seek the Lord while he may be found and to call upon him while he's near, is that he's not calling and speaking to the dead alien sinner. He's talking to the one who God has already changed. And he's telling them who God has already done a work in their heart. Those that possess the ability to be able to seek. Those that possess the desire to seek. Those that have it in their being to know that there's a greater being in this world. The Scripture tells us that whenever we're... That because we are sons, that God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, and that Spirit is crying, Abba, Father. And in other words, if you have a desire this morning to go closer to your God and to feel the presence of His Son, Jesus Christ, it's not because you're in need of life, it's because you already have it. And the call that the prophet made is still just as true today as it was whenever he spoke it unto the children of Israel. And that is to seek the Lord while He may be found. And to call upon Him while He's near. You know, a lot of people may hear that and say, isn't the Lord always near? Isn't the Lord always at a point that He may be found? You know, I can go through several places in Scripture, and I'll do it very briefly before I go through two examples of a good time to seek the Lord and to find Him and to call upon Him while He's near. I'm going to give you a few examples of times and throughout the Word of God that I'm sure that there were those that were calling upon Him, but that he wasn't near, and they didn't hear him, and they didn't answer the cry. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Well, we're in the Old Testament already, aren't we? Let's go back a little further in the Old Testament to the book of Genesis in the 19th chapter and think about this for just a second. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, a lot of people look at this particular event and they say that city was full of wicked people, and I believe it was. And they'll be the first to tell you that there wasn't a child of God among them. There wasn't any of them that belonged to God among that group down there. And that's the reason why that the Lord destroyed that city. But I want to draw your attention to a New Testament statement that the Lord Jesus Christ said. He told the Jews that if the mighty works that had been done in their presence had been done in Tyre and Sidon, that those cities would have remained unto this day, is what Jesus Christ said. In other words, if those people in that city would have seen what I've done in your presence during His earthly ministry, they would have turned. I've already pointed out that unless they were children of God, they're not going to turn. There was the reason why He made that statement to them and told them that if they would have been done in their presence, they would have turned, is because there were children of God there. There were those who belonged to God by grace in the midst of that city. And you can better well believe it as the ashes fell and as the fire fell from heaven and destroyed that city. Don't you know that they cried unto God Almighty that He would relieve them of that judgment that came upon them? As during the days of Noah, if you go a little bit further back, I'm sure that as that water got around waist deep, as they remembered the laugh and the scoffing that they gave that old man that was building that ark by his faith in the Almighty God, that the Lord was going to destroy the world as He told him that He was going to do. Don't you know when it got up about waist high that there was some crying unto God, that the Lord would hear them, that the Lord would visit them? And I tell you, child of grace, today what you see in the Scriptures, that this world was destroyed by flood, that city Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by fire from heaven. And what the prophet is saying, that Israel is crying to the Lord while He's near so that He won't do those things that we read in in Scripture are done by the judgment of the almighty hand of God. You know, whenever you read in Scripture the prophecy that Jesus Christ spoke in Matthew chapters 24 and 25, what He told them was about the destruction of the city of Israel, the city of Jerusalem. He prophesied of it, and He was repeating a prophecy that was already given in the book of Daniel, down to the very day, down to the very year that that destruction was made upon that city. And I tell you, I believe that there were elect children of God in that city. And the reason why I believe it is because the Scripture says that unless except it be for the elect's sake, that those days should not be shortened. And in other words, because there were children there, the Lord still did have somewhat of mercy against that city. But don't you know that while that Roman army had encompassed about that city, and that they had completely shut down any food coming in, any ability for them to be able to go out, that they began to see their condition and how there was no help for them, that they cried unto the God, Lord God Almighty, but did the Lord remove that judgment that He had promised that He was going to send unto them? And I believe He sent it unto them because of their rebellion and refusal to recognize and acknowledge Him as being the very Son of God in the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy and law. That He sent it unto them, but He did not hear their cry. He still judged them, and the prophet is trying to intercede on behalf of the people of Israel whenever he says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. And in other words, there's still time for you to change some courses of events. You know, some people get all crossed up whenever you think that something you may do may change the course of time. It may change the course of what's to come after. Some people cannot even fathom that. You know, they immediately say, well, you mean if we call upon God, if we seek Him, that there's a possibility that something that He was going to do, that He's not going to do anymore? Yes. Yes. And if you don't believe that's true, then you might as well declare yourself a fatalist and just say what's going to come and what's going to happen is going to happen anyway. I'm going to sit back with my umbrella and my lemonade and I'm just going to sip on it and just let come and go what may. I tell you, child of God, our God is a being that can change things. And because of what this prophet is crying unto Israel, don't you know that if they would have done what he said, that there would have been a change? But Israel did not change. As a matter of fact, if you go to the next prophet in the course of history, Jeremiah cried unto him and told him to seek the old path and to walk therein. And what did they say? We will not walk therein. We will not do it. And the judgment came upon them for not doing so. I tell you, the Scripture says to seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon the Lord while He's near. For just a few more minutes, I'm going to give two examples of good times to seek the Lord while He may be found and to call upon Him while He's near. The first example can be given to us in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Where the Scripture tells us, and is specifically speaking to a young person, to remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days are few. Good time to seek the Lord is in your youth, is when you're young. And, you know, I'm just like everybody else. You know, what is the cutoff age of youth and what is the cutoff age of young? It moves as I get a year older every year. That scale just keeps going up. Anything me and below, still young. That's a joke, by the way. If you're older than me, I'm not calling you old. But we all know what that, we all understand what he's saying in that. You know, there's a special protective care given by God upon his little children. Upon his young little children. There's a level of expectancy for those that are mature age and to be able to know right from wrong. Now we understand that whenever the Lord gives His Spirit and regenerates His little child, He gives them a knowledge of right and wrong. He gives them a love of Him. He writes His laws on their heart. And whenever they do that that's wrong, there's a conscience that exists within the child of God that tells them the things that they're doing are wrong. But you can't tell me that a young child ought to still have the same responsibility for error than does a mature adult who, by his own experience, that mature adult knows better. He knows better because of his own experiences what are right and what is right and what is wrong. You know, you can remember the days of, I'm sure I'm not the only one, that can remember the days of youth. And as I look back on them, I'm sure I'm not the only one that is marveled at the fact that I'm alive standing before you today. That the Lord has protected me the way He has. I had little Lila ask me the other day where that scar on my face came from. And I thought, she's 2 months shy of 7 and she's just now seen that thing. I notice everything about her because she's the apple of my eye. I guarantee you, there's not a thing about her complexion or sight that I don't appreciate more and more as every day goes by. But that old burly looking daddy, she just now noticed that scar on my face. And you know, whenever she asked me where it came from, a story had to come behind it. And that is that's a sign of your daddy's rebellion. Because I knew when I got in the car that night that I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. I knew whenever I was going down the road that I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. I knew that where I was headed that night was not a place where I needed to be. Every bit of it. There was alarms going off in my conscience that I'd prayed my children would heed to. And they wouldn't be so stubborn and hard-headed as I was. But I tell you, the Lord protected me that night. But you know what? I don't think that if I was so foolish and stupid at 36 that He'd do it again. I'm not going to tempt Him again. He protected me at 15, but I'm not going to tempt Him at 36. I'm a couple of days shy of that. I'm not going to tempt Him then. I tell you, a good time to remember thy Creator and a good time to seek Him while He may be found is while you're young, because He's got a special protective care over you. He's near during those days. I tell you, that gives me great comfort to know that in the protection of my children, that the Lord is near them in the midst of their youth, in the midst of time that they may make some foolish decisions. I'm thankful to have the hope and comfort in my heart that the Lord is watching over them. And I tell you, a good time to seek Him and a good time to call upon Him is while you're young, when your mind is fresh, when you can actually remember some things that you read. You know, I had a preacher tell me the other day, he said, I wish I would have begun to memorize some scriptures while I was still young. He said, because now I've reached a point where I can't memorize and have a ready recollection of things like I could whenever I was young. But I tell you, there's not a scientist around that won't confirm that what I'm about to say to you is that things that you memorize while you're young, if you'll keep a steady recollection of memory of those things and not just quoting them, but visiting them every once in a while, you'll still remember them when you get old. You know, we watch Andy Griffith a good bit of the time around our house. It's one of our entertainment features of the night, and one of our favorite episodes is when Barney Fife tries to quote the preamble of the Constitution to Andy, you know, to help little Opie out with his history exam. And you know, he declares that he can remember that thing from the time that he was in the first grade. And he begins to try to repeat that thing, and he made Andy give him the first word, and then here they went from there. By the time he got done, he had given him the whole preamble. And you know, Barney's hair was pulled all down in his eyes because he was just so vexed that he couldn't remember a word of it. The reason why is because he didn't ever memorize it to start off with. A good time to seek the Lord and a good time to call upon Him is while you're young. You know, we're blessed with a lot of young babies in our midst. And I'd venture to say that in the presence of the young babies, that means you got young families. And I'd encourage you today, young parents, you haven't reached the point where you're declared old yet, that it's too late to be considered in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 to remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. As you start out your family, a lot of the habits that you establish right now will be those habits that you keep right on as you bring those children up through school. And until you close that car door whenever they either head off to college or either you close it on the day that they move out and they begin their life anew with whether it be a husband or a wife, those things that you start while you're new. It's a good time to seek the Lord. It's a good time to call upon Him, because those things that you establish will keep you right on through the days as you bring them up. And it gets easier. I tell you, and I say this, I know a lot of people are saying, hold on, man, Brother Will, you ain't hit teenage years yet. Don't tell me it gets easier. I'm going to tell you, in our nightly reading, whenever you got 4 that's under the age of 7 and down, And you want to talk about trying to wrestle them to get them down. You want to talk about the time that it takes to read just one chapter of Scripture. To try to get them to repeat after you. To try to get them to sit down and listen. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that that's something that's easy to undertake. I tell you, there's nights whenever it's tough to be able to achieve that. But I tell you, as that becomes ingrained in them, as they do it more and they do it more, and then they can actually read it themselves. And so you don't have to hear it, but you don't have to say it and then repeat it, but they read it themselves. It gets easier. But you know, if you establish it while they're young, that's something that you can continue to do right on up through the years as they get older. And what my prayer is that they would take that and that they'd ingrain it in their own homes whenever they have their children in their own homes. I tell you, one of the things that's the plague of our nation today is the family Bible study. Now, I'm going to harp on it for a minute, so you, if you want to close your eyes and look down, that's fine. But I'm going to tell you, the best place to teach a child the Bible verse by verse is for a daddy to do it in their home. And it doesn't mean that I'm criticizing the public assembly and saying coming together and worshiping the Lord that you shouldn't learn anything. But I'm telling you the best place to do it. And the more and more you lean upon me to do it verse by verse, the less and less that you're going to do it yourself verse by verse to your children. I'll tell you that's the best place to teach a child the Scripture is for them to hear from the lips of their mom and daddy what this book tells us about Jesus Christ and about what He's done for His people. It's the best. It's the best way to do it. And whenever He says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found, call upon Him while He's near, it means that there's an opportunity that the Lord has given you to be able to do these things. And while you're young is a good opportunity. I tell you, go with me to Ezra chapter 9. And this is the last one we're going to go through this morning. Ezra and Nehemiah. The book of Haggai that is penned later on in the Old Testament, were all written around a time of revival and reconstruction of the Old Testament worship service. It had been abandoned. It had been forsaken. It had been neglected. It's hard for us to even fathom that there would be a king in Old Testament Israel that would come to reign, and that they would find the Word of God in the walls of the temple, and that when they bring that Word of God out of the walls, that they would marvel at the words contained therein, because they were so far removed from what the Lord had given them and told them to do. But that happened. But the Scripture says that the Lord visited them. This is after the prophecy of Isaiah that I've mentioned to you earlier, as far as a chronological time period, because they didn't seek the Lord. They didn't call upon Him in Isaiah's age. They didn't do it in Jeremiah's day. And by the time Jeremiah had rolled around, basically his message to them was, because they wouldn't listen, was to just lay your arms down, judgment is coming. In other words, we're going to have to live this one out. And we're going to pray that the Lord would visit us and would bless us to be able to make it right later on. Well, He did. And they remained in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. And the Scripture records through the pen of Ezra that there was a measure of those Jews that was in captivity that was returned to Jerusalem with the specific task of rebuilding the city and to rebuild the temple and for them to restore the worship service as God had given it to them. The Lord granted them a privilege to be able to have that opportunity to do what He had told them to do. And we come to Ezra chapter 9. And by the way, one of the main reasons why they found themselves in the shape that they were in, not in captivity, they found themselves in captivity because of the judgment of God, but one of the reasons why they found themselves under the judgment of God was because they had forsaken the commandment that the Lord had given them regarding their marriages to those other tribes that were around them. You know, you have the nation of Israel that was granted Canaan land, and you read constantly in the Old Testament of the different tribes that existed around them. You have the Midianites, you have the Ammonites, you have the Philistines, you have the Assyrians, you have the different tribes of people that were not given the oracles of God, that the Lord had told them that if you marry into them, you having the oracles are going to begin to adopt what they do and are going to begin to do as they do, which is not as I've told you to do. You know, it started with Solomon, did it not? 700 wives and 300 concubines. And the scripture says that he began to observe and do what those wives who he married from those other countries, the Egyptian and the others that he married from those other countries, infiltrated. And that became what the Israelites began to observe as opposed to what the Lord had given them. Well, here the Lord has visited them with mercy, and he's given them opportunity to do it right again. And he says in Ezra chapter 9, if we start reading in verse 1, that now when these things were done, the princes came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands. See, when the Israelites were taken away to captivity, there was a measure and a remnant of Israelites left in Jerusalem. But basically, that city just became a place where the other countries moved in and made their habitation, and they intermingled among them. It was not a place of distinguished Israelite abode, if you will. There was a lot of different countries there. And the scripture says that those who the Lord has now brought back, that as opposed to distinguishing themselves, they've intermingled again. And it says, doing according to the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers have been chief in this trespass. You know, I think for just a second, if you think I'm fixing to harp on who to marry and who not to marry, that's not the lesson today. Because that which is natural in Old Testament is the spiritual example of the New Testament. And I'm not saying that there's not plenty of scripture to tell us about who to marry and who not to marry. I'm not saying that. But the purpose of this instruction, the reason why he's mentioning this, is to give us a spiritual example. They literally entered into marriage with these others that observed that worship. And the lesson for you and I to observe is that there's still Ammonites, there's still Perizzites, there's still Canaanites. There's still a lot of the other different forms that God does not recognize as being right and true in his eyes. And from a spiritual standpoint, for those that are blessed to be able to come out from among that and be able to have the truth, to intermingle that they have with what the Lord has given you, is a trespass in the eyes of God. That's what the lesson is here. And whenever Nehemiah had heard that they did not keep themselves distinguished from these nations, he says in verse 3 that when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard and sat down astonished. They were assembled unto me, everyone that trembled at the words of the God of Israel because of the transgression of those that had been carried away. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. You know, one of the things that we see here is that the message of what this nation had done was troubling to Ezra because of the sacrifices that he had made personally and because of the desire that he had to see Israel once again to be what it was of old. He was troubled by the fact that they had returned to the very thing that had plagued them in the first place. And he says down in verse 8 to tell us another good time to seek the Lord while he may be found and to call upon him while he's near, is that he tells us that now for a little space great grace hath been shewed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. Another good time to seek the Lord and to call upon him is when the Lord gives you an opportunity to do it. When the Lord opens up a door, the Lord does not open up doors for you to close them. Do we understand that? And the Lord doesn't close doors for you and I to open them. that he opens, he's telling us that this is my authority and I by my authority am opening this door. You know, at times whenever he's, whenever there's a door there, at the times that he wants you to open the doors, when the scripture tells us that he's given you the keys to do it with. You know, whenever Jesus established his church in Matthew chapter 16, what he told them is that I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And in other words, I'm going to observe your authority that I'm giving you. Here are the keys. You know, whenever the church receives a member and baptizes them into the fellowship, the Lord has told us that He is literally doing it Himself. In other words, He is observing what He has given His institution to do. You know, there's a reason why whenever a man and a woman are married, He says, whatsoever God hath joined together. Now, does God come down here and join that together? Or does He say, I'm observing what is taking place and I am doing this. Let no man put asunder. And the same thing whenever it comes to the keys of the kingdom of heaven. But whenever the Lord's giving you an opportunity, it's not a closed door with a key. It's Him opening the door and saying, walk through. It's an opportunity to seek the Lord while He may be found. And to call upon Him while He's near. I guarantee you, if He's opened up a door, it's because He's standing at the door. It's not because He can't from heaven open up a door without being present there. I tell you, our Lord has got power over heaven and earth. And there's not a thing that He can't do. But whenever we see that He's opened up a door, let's seek Him while He may be found. And let's call upon Him while He's near. And let's go through those things that He's opened up to us to give us an opportunity to do it. You know, whenever I think of opportunity and you know, both of those time periods can be lumped into one, if you want to know the truth. You know, a lot of a person that's young in age, I remember a lot of people that I respected whenever I got out of school and even before I did. The charges that they gave me was that there's a lot of opportunity there. You're young. There's a lot of opportunity. Well, I'm not trying to distinguish these two times that the Lord would call upon us to seek Him and to tell us to call upon Him as being two mutually exclusive events, as saying that they can't both exist at the same time. But in particular, there are some characteristics of these two times that we read in Scripture that are very applicable to the body of Christ at Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church. And as the prophet spoke them and said, seek ye the Lord while He may be found, and to call upon Him while He's near. I'm not a prophet, and I trust that if I live my life till I pass from this world, that you never hear the words uttered from this man's mouth that I'm a prophet sent from God. I'm not a prophet. Don't claim to be. But I'll repeat the charge here this morning, to seek ye the Lord while He may be found, and to call upon Him while He's near. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.